Welcome to episode 184 of Both Down, the number one Blood Bowl podcast.
From New Nekahara City, with Wesley Snipes.
The what?
With Wesley Snipes.
New Nekahara, with Wesley Snipes.
Remember New Jack City?
Okay.
Was that, he was in that, right?
Oh, I've never seen New Jack City. I am Scott Prime, with me, trying to make references to New Jack City, probably a 1990 movie?
Dude.
Is Steve Kilowoggy Campbell?
I don't even know. That's
He's looking
question.
It up right now. Wasn't was John Lithgow in it?
I have no clue. I think I saw it one time. It. 91. I know David Bowie was in it.
Yeah, oh,
Wesley
okay.
Snipes was in it. Ice-T, Judd Nelson. Anyways, no one has seen that movie.
I mean, somebody has our age.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right now, Phil right now is shaking his head going, I've seen it. And it's like, yeah, you're older than us.
Well, yeah, but it was a movie at the time. You know, back when you used to just watch anything that came out.
Boy, that is true. I did have that song by Ice-T that was like the theme song for it.
Yeah.
I believe I bought a CD single, which I thought were the craziest, amazingest things ever, because I liked that one song.
You know what song that randomly pops in my head more than it should? The Riddler from Batman Forever. Like Method Man and Redman.
Okay.
Observe, if you will, from my back, from my hideout in the back of the hill. Anyways.
Well, I already know what's going to be at the end of this episode, everybody.
Yeah, that was easy.
Usually I go check just because I'm like, what dumb thing did we say that I don't remember?
Yep.
This one, I'm telling you right now, this is foreshadowing. You'd almost think this was a routine, but it's not, so we can have something at the end. But we do now.
I mean, that might actually, yeah. Why not?
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing decent. Been dealing with family stuff. Yay.
I got you.
Yeah, so after my brother passed away, then we found out my sister was in worse health and mental health than we thought. So dealing with that and getting her into an assisted living home.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's growing old, man. Growing old.
Yeah.
How you been?
Well, I would have told you... pretty decent until about 3 to 4 hours ago. I went walking today. My shoulder was just like in normal, you know, pain.
Yeah.
And then I came home and showered and was waiting for Jen to come over. And I fell asleep like on the bed, almost like in a, like Jesus on the cross type position, like my arms were out.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's what did it, but my shoulder probably hurts worse right now in this moment than it has in maybe 8 to 10 months. Like this is, yes, I took some pain meds and I took everything I possibly can without, you know, ODing myself.
People because... from other countries with actual good health care, like, why doesn't he go get it checked out?
Yeah, so I can get on the waiting list to get it fixed. No, you know, I can't. So I don't know what I did, but as the night's gone on, it hurts like just bad. I mean, now tomorrow I might wake up and everything will be fine because
Scott
that's what,
has a niggling injury.
Scott has a couple niggling injuries. They go like, how is this guy still on the team? And it's like, well, he shouldn't be here, but he works for free.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great weekend overall, but we will get into that when we get into this episode. But
yeah, we got a couple tournaments to go over, and believe that's we're just going to do like a one-shot episode again.
Oh, we're doing the one-shot? We're just doing it?
Just easier. Unless we have to take a break or something.
Okay. So, yeah. But since the last podcast, I think everything overall has been pretty nice.
That's good.
No big complaints if you don't get into other stuff. You know, stuff that a lot of friends just don't want to talk about because it brings you down.
Oh, yeah. So called life.
Yeah.
That's why we play Blood Bowl.
Exactly, my friend. Exactly. I mean, I had that conversation with somebody last week about, they were talking about, you know, current affairs and stuff like that, and how they were really down. And they said, how do you deal with it? And I laughed at them, and I was like, you see me read comic books all the time here at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so I go into the pages where, you know, most of the time, good wins over evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So anyways, yes, that's where I put my head in that sandbox quite often. So
totally get it.
And Blood Bowl is one of them. I don't know where you want to start. We haven't heard anything new.
No.
From the teaser that we got with the Blood Bowl box set.
Pretty sure we won't hear anything for a while.
I did listen to the Three Die Block episode where they talked about their speculations and thoughts on everything. And I agree quite a bit with a lot of stuff that, like, it sounds pretty awesome, except, you know, want to still feel out how this secure the ball thing's going to work.
I don't have an issue with that. I mean, I think it just is what it is. There's still a chance to fail. I'm more concerned about just the random. We're going to change every roster. Most likely.
Again, yeah. If I haven't emphasized it enough last episode or whenever we did that, it's quite possible, like I said, that they think dwarves are too powerful, and the rerolls go from 50k to 55k, and that's the only change. Stuff like that. So, I mean,
we'll see shortly. I'm sure.
Man, I'm hoping. I'm really hoping that we get some more teasers. Maybe like a date when it's going to come out. All that stuff. So,
yeah, I'm pretty sure mid next month at the earliest.
Yeah, I think it would be before Christmas.
Yeah, definitely to be before
Christmas. I don't know if it's Black Friday weekend or whatever, but yes, before Christmas. Because isn't that when we got the last edition?
I believe so. It's usually around Black Friday, so day after Christmas, or day after Thanksgiving.
Right. But enough of that. We can speculate all the time, and we already have done that.
Yeah, we did.
So let's talk about the fun things that we do for whatever crazy reasons we do them. We both went to tournaments recently, and we'd like to talk about our adventures there.
Yep.
Do you want to go first?
I mean, mine was first, so yeah, I'll start.
That makes the most sense.
Craig and I went up to Wyoming Open. It was on September 13th in Laramie, Wyoming, a couple hours away. It's a real nice day for the drive. We kind of took the back roads, so it was real pretty.
So is this a one-day trip for you?
Yeah, it's just a couple hours.
Okay.
No big deal. Ended up being 10 people. The guys up there are a great group. Noel does a great job putting stuff on. I played my High Elves, just get them to the 10 games, because I'm doing that still with every team, because I have nothing else to do. I have no idea what to pick for races, so yeah, do the Davies 10 until the new set comes out and they get rid of Chaos Renegades or, you know, Old World Alliance, then I can never get those done.
All speculation.
I know. So round one, so with my High Elves, real simple roster. I took a thrower with On the Ball. I like On the Ball for how I play, because I have one thrower, comes in handy. Two blitzers with dodge, two catchers with dodge, two catchers with block, and a lineman with block. 12 people overall, and 4 rerolls.
Dang, you're kind of crutching them rerolls, my friend.
I mean, why wouldn't I? I mean, you got a lineman, what, lineman 70k on this team? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd have to lose 2 rerolls to get one more player. And what else am I going to spend it on?
I understand.
I don't know.
I'm just talking and kind of making fun and yet not making fun of the current Blood Bowl edition. Golly, wouldn't it be great if rerolls just were once per turn?
That would be interesting if we went back to that.
I thought we talked about it, but I'm not sure.
No,
but
we didn't.
It did come up in another conversation over my weekend. So
I
just like the discipline of when to use it, when to not.
Yeah, so it would. It'd be a vast fundamental change in the game. I don't know if it'd be better or worse since we've done it before.
Right.
So first round to go up against Noel with his halflings, and he took Deep Root. So yay, fun for that. He chose to receive. Immediately we got a timeout, so goes a little faster. He failed the pickup initially. I've got a crap ton of speed, and he's halflings, so I swarmed around him and just put people on halflings, making him dodge, making it hard for him to try to cage up for anything. And then he failed to pick up again, so I basically just walked over, picked up the ball, and scored. Real nice, quick.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention when you were talking about your roster. Did you have catchers?
Yeah, four catchers.
Okay. Four catchers. Yeah. Okay.
Which, you know, that eight movement comes in real freaking handy.
Oh, I mean, three strength of this too. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the eight movement is gigantic.
Mm-hmm. And it came into play a lot with my games. So kicked off, ended up the ref KO'd my thrower. So that was not fun, but at least he stayed on the pitch. The ball pretty much goes straight to the line of scrimmage by his trees. He picks it up. He's just walking down the pitch, his trees having no problem, just walking and going for it as much as they please. I slow him down enough to where he's got his one last turn to score, and I just screwed up my positioning, and there was a space. Because I tried to do figure, space, space, figure, so that he'd have to dodge a couple of times. I don't know why. I left a wide open lane. He just walked through and scored. So that was annoying. Then we go ahead and I wasn't hurting anybody. Just nothing. I did stay away from him for the most part, and his armor rolls were not hurting me. So I didn't have any real issue. Second half, I received the ball. I'm just slow rolling, because why not? He throws a halfling at me. He actually does land, but then he fails the go for it for the hit. I keep walking down the pitch, keeping him away from me. I score on the last play. So he's got one turn to go. And we got a timeout. So it's like, damn it. So the ball goes right into that back corner. And he goes to pick it up. And I was like, I kind of want him to pick up the ball. Because if he does, there's no way he can score next turn. Because to get from the corner of the end zone to a halfling by the tree, he's going to have to pass and hand off.
Correct.
But then he can't throw a halfling. So I was keeping quiet. He went for it. He goes to pick up the ball. He fails. The ball goes out of bounds. And
shoots
it goes
up the field.
Right to where he needs to go. So the very last turn, he moves up. I put people on trees just to make him have to hit me. I put people in the back in case he landed to try to dodge. And he goes to pick up the ball and fails. So I end up winning 2-1. Overall casualties 3-2 him, but he got all three of them in like the last bit of the second half. So it didn't really make any difference. He did not roll take root one single time. And he legit went for it with his trees at least six times. Never got a one. So when you've got mobile trees just going wherever they want, not that easy.
I mean, a lot of the halfling success is live and die by your trees.
Absolutely.
That's just part of it. So
no, I mean, if they took root and I had a whole second half, I would just been beating up halflings here and there. And I mean, score in the last turn like I did. But we had pizza for lunch. He ordered pizza, so that was nice. Second round, I ended up going against, I thought I was going to go against the youngest two, because Brian too and his kids were there.
Mm-hmm.
And the youngest two had...
Oh, he has another one now playing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Yeah. So now, How many twos are we gonna have to deal with now? I'm sure they're all wonderful.
Yeah.
Tournament winning players. Great.
But he was playing Ogre, so I'm like, well, maybe I get to play him. That'd be awesome because, you know, that's a better matchup than anything
else.
So
was there three twos there or
yes.
four twos there?
Three twos.
Three twos out of the 10. Nice.
So I ended 30%
chance that you'd have to play it too.
Yep. Second round, I ended up playing JJ.
Okay.
And he was playing Necro with no stars, had three rerolls, guard on his golems, block on his werewolves, block and wrestle on the ghouls, and a guard tackle wraiths. So good
selection. Pretty solid.
I mean, definitely solid. I end up receiving. I go to pick up. I dodge away from his guy, fail immediately. I was like, damn it, I can't end this early. So used a reroll. And then I go to pick up the ball and failed. I'm like, he's got werewolves and he's a good player. I need this ball. So I used another reroll and failed. So the ball is on the ground. He comes in with his werewolf. He hits me. And luckily he went for it to pick up the ball. He could have stayed next to the ball, which actually would have been the better play, because then I would have to deal with the werewolf and probably no way to get rid of that tackle zone. But with him doing that, then since he was next to me, I was able to fill in the spaces. I blitzed in, did a chain push, got his werewolf off the ball, had the ball to myself, picked it up, did a long pass, caught in a tackle zone, dodged away, scored.
Freaking elves.
The high elves passing, amazing. And you catch on the catchers, amazing. So I kick the ball to him, and his flesh golem ends up getting the ball. So he just starts going down the pitch. Of course, since he has stand firm, he decides to hug the sideline. JJ's a great player. And having the ball in the hands of friggin' flesh golem, I'm not going to have many chances to do anything against him. So since he was on the sidelines, I took the chance and dodged into three tackle zones to do two die uphill on him, just hoping to knock him down and the ball goes out of bounds. Ended up knocking him down. The ball goes out of bounds. And it goes straight nine squares instead of like towards my end zone. So he's able just to pick up the ball and then walk in. I tried again to slow him down and stop him, but I just wasn't able to do anything. He was removing my people. Wasn't casualty so much, but a lot of knockouts. And then second half, he received, I couldn't do anything. He just walked down the pitch and scored. Anything I tried to do just didn't work. So he ended up winning 2-1, casualties 2-0 him. So I was like, well, I don't have a winning record, so maybe I dodged Brian too. Nope. I had to play Brian too, round three. He was playing Norse. I guess he lost his first round matchup. He had an Apoth and two rerolls. The Yeti had Mighty Blow. Both Wolf Runners had block. Berserkers, one tackle, one Mighty Blow. Valkyries, one wrestle, one dodge. I suck at remembering what Valkyries do. Like, I forgot they had catch. Like,
catch, strip just, ball. All
that. I remember strip ball, but I don't know. So I received, and I just was like, I need to take advantage of when I can. So I scored in two turns, doing a long pass, catching, dodging, eight movement, no issue. So kick off to him, and it's pitch invasion. He ends up losing three people, including the thrower that was in the back. So I put pressure on him. I came around the sides. I made my way through the middle. And then next turn, picked up the ball and scored again, up 2-0.
Wow.
So on the kickoff, he ends up getting pro from the pros to Nuffle. He puts it on Orfrunner. So he gets the ball. I got a hit on the Valk. She used Wrestle to go down. So the ball was kind of scrumming around and was hoping to get a chance. Well, he ends up getting skull-skull with his Orfroner, and he had no rerolls at the time.
But he had Pro.
But he had Pro, and it worked. So he turned it into a block, knocked me down. I do end up getting two hits on the ball carrier. Push, both times. I used rerolls and just kept getting pushes. Couldn't do anything. I did casually...
What feels worse? Double push or the skull push?
Double push.
Especially when you re-roll it.
Yeah, double push every time. What feels worse is when you re-roll to the exact same thing, no matter what it was.
No, exactly. I guess that's kind of my point, because I had a few of those moments myself. So.
Yeah, I would happily take it both down, because I just needed the ball out of his hands. I did end up casualing an Orfroner, but he used his Apothecary, so it came back. End of the half, I was able to get a one die on his Valkyrie. I got a Pal, so I was able to keep him from scoring. Second half, we got the ref. We'll get the ref. I slowed him down enough. Obviously, he received the ball because it kicked to him. It took him six turns or so to score. And when he kicked off to me, I'm low on people. Again, knockouts, casualties, but fouls since, get the ref. I decided to hide in the corner and just wait for three turns because I don't know what else to do. I don't have enough manpower to keep away from him. So I just sit back, build a cloud, sit in the back corner, waiting for him to come to me. It comes down to that last turn, and I see an opening on the sideline. Like, all I need to do is hand off the ball to a guy with catch, make one dodge of 3+, then a 2+, then break away, and he can't get me. There's nothing he can do. I failed the dodge, so I go down. The ball goes to an empty square. He does all the hits he needs to do. He opens up a lane, so a lineman, all he had to do was pick up the ball on a 3+ and just walk into the end zone. So he goes, he picks up the ball, he drops the die in the dice tower, it rolls down the dice tower, and it's cocked on the side.
Okay.
And when I say it's cocked, I'm like, it's like, I'll show Scott, it's like that. Like, okay. You can clearly see that there is a 6 on the top, but it's clearly...
You're saying if you could get to eye level, you could see air between
edge? There was no question. There was air between. Okay. It was cocked, for sure. Well,
me and you are big HeroClick guys, so we, as much as we hate it,
yeah,
and it's hurt us in the past, if it's even semi-cocked,
mm-hmm.
I know we will re-roll it because we played games where, like, if it's not absolutely flat, we re-roll it.
Yeah. And so I was like, awesome, it's cocked. And he's like, well, it's clearly a 6. And I go, well, it's also clearly cocked. So he's like, you're really going to stick me on this? And he bangs the table, like, to make it go down, and it doesn't fall down. And then he bangs it a second time, and it goes down. I'm like, it's what I would do. He goes, is that really what you would do? I'm like, absolutely. No question.
100%.
So he re-rolls it. He gets a 2. And I actually beat him. 2-1.
Nice.
So
that's a good win for you.
1-1 casualties. Overall, 2 wins, 1 loss. I did come in 3rd overall, and I got best offense. So the year of best offense and best defense just keeps rolling.
Well, I mean, it's better than... not getting any
worse. Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I'm sure he was a little miffy about that call. But
I mean, if he hit the...
And I get it. I understand where he's coming from.
Again, you're arguing also with two of the wrong guys. We came from yes. HeroClix where anything... And that is one thing I explained to my opponent from the get-go, is if these are even, like, remotely cocked, I'm re-rolling mm-hmm. them, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's... kind of why I went to the Dice Cup, too, because it's so rare that that will happen once you have a Dice Cup.
Absolutely. And I never think to talk about it because he had a Dice Tower. I mean, how often is that going to get cocked?
And if you remember, I used to do a Dice Tower, too, but once you have those few moments like that, mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I can name the person, but I'm not. It was just they re-rolled it when it wasn't good.
Yeah.
But then when it was good, they were like, "What? I mean, what are you talking about?"
I'd keep
like,
it.
Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. And since then, I've learned to not just let people get away with stuff and call them out on it. So
yeah.
So, but yes, you would have re-rolled that.
Yeah. So I was very happy to beat him.
Although
even
I could hear you go, like, I could hear you go, like, looks flat to me, just to see if they let you get away with it. But I know, like, from other games, we always re-roll cockdice.
Yeah. So that was us, and then came back, and that was pretty much it.
Cool. Did you do anything else while you're there?
No, there's nothing else to do. It's Laramie, Wyoming.
Oh.
And it takes up most of the day, so.
Okay. It's that bad, huh?
We did stop at Bucky's on the way back.
There's a Bucky's up there?
Yeah, there's a Bucky's on 25 between us and...
Listen to you talk like about streets and highways like I go, oh,
I know.
Off of 25. Of course I know what that
Other people might know, but it's the main highway. So we get over to that. It's about an hour away from us.
What did you get at Bucky's? Since people are going to complain that all we do is talk about food. So you started off.
That's fair. I got some beef jerky. And for... I got pulled pork sandwich, which I don't normally get pulled pork, and it was just fine. It was good, but it wasn't the chopped brisket that I normally get, which is so much better. Okay. And then their apple pie, because their apple pie is like an old McDonald's apple pie.
Yes, made it's
really
good.
Love to a churro.
Yes, it's really good.
And like, I've been trying to watch my weight, but I've...
You watched it get bigger that night.
That one time, yes, for sure. I am down 25 pounds, though. I'm actually under 255 for the first time in who knows how long.
You're under what?
255.
Wow. Look at me. I'm walking 150 minutes a week, and you're doing whatever you're doing to lose some weight. Now, if maybe I would stop eating stuff.
And maybe if I worked out more. But
man, we have the perfect combo. If we ever
get
together and like lock horns, you know, maybe we become the...
And then we have to merge and then split into two beings, one fat and one skinny.
Wow. I know which side I'd get. I'd be like, great.
No, all I've been doing is eating less calories. I mean, being right. Mindful of stuff.
Well, I've been doing the walking. Yeah, and then I'll say like, if this works... then maybe I can keep eating like I normally do. But I'm probably just a matter of time before I also need to really kind of start watching stuff. So
yeah.
I guess we're going to go in. That's it for you.
Yep.
Best offense. Did Craig get anything?
I should know this. I think he got best defense.
Do you know who won the tournament?
I can find out.
Was it JJ?
Yeah, I think it was JJ.
Okay.
It was on Turplay, so if anyone is interested in finding out for sure, go
okay.
to Turplay.
That's fine. How'd you like using Turplay?
We've gone over this, haven't we?
Probably.
I don't know if we have. I do not like Turplay for tournaments. I know a lot of people do. It's not my thing. Yeah, JJ2 did win. Craig came in second.
So when I did use Turplay, I liked it. But what we did is we started the match and then we took all the stats on paper. And then after it was over, we got back on Turplay and keyed them all in and hit done.
Yeah. And I think Blood Bowl Tournament Manager is much better because it's simple. Touchdowns up, touchdowns down, casualties up, casualties down. That's it. Like, I don't have to deal with five different screens and all this, blah, 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 blah.
I understand. So, all right. So you want to just get into my tournament?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So I went back to Lubbock, Texas. This is Matador Melee 6, run by John Spurgeon and Dustin Parsons. This was just days ago, which is September 20th, I believe. And me and Gary traveled out there. Of course, like we have the last few times we've gone out to Lubbock, we stayed with our friend Dylan Francis, who put us up in his house. Him and his wife put us up. So thank God, because we're so used now to not paying for a hotel when you go out that far that...
So you're going there enough, you should probably pay him rent at this point.
But he's about to graduate from Texas Tech with his either doctorate or master's in music or whatever.
That's
I think it's doctorate. He'll start looking for a job elsewhere. So we're about to run out of our free Lubbock places to stay.
So what type of job does that get him?
From what I understand, band leader? Like for a university though.
Okay, that'd be cool.
So like, let's say the band director for OU retires.
Okay.
He could apply for that and maybe get a chance at doing that. You know, I mean, probably university like Oklahoma would steal somebody else, like a veteran type person, but that's the idea at least. And, you know, teach music classes and et cetera, et cetera.
That's cool.
So, yeah. So anyways, I normally don't try to miss things, but I missed the music festival here and more for my daughter's high school solely because one, she's a sophomore. So we got 2 more years of it. And this really might be the last year we can go do this for less pennies than it will start costing if we continue to go out there to support John and those guys. So his tournament always has a custom kickoff table. It's all kind of themed around the Texas Tech Red Raiders and the fact that the rowdy crowd, the rowdy student sections, and for the longest time, the only star player you could take was Rumbelow. And you were allowed to, at one point, take up to 2 Rumbelows as the only star player for any team.
And that's because he is riding something.
Correct.
And their mascot is?
The Master Rider, I guess, because that's what that's what he's always been called. You can take this star player, the Masked Rider. He's the exact same stats as Rumbelow.
Okay.
Yeah. And in years past, Dustin would paint up a Rumbelow figure and give it away, and et cetera, et cetera. I even won one year from that tournament. I like this tournament a lot for many reasons. I love John and Dustin to pieces. They give away way too much stuff. Number one, and that's not really a reason I love it, but every time we do go, it feels like we walk out of there with way more money than what we spent to just join the tournament. They do a thing where everybody gets a ticket in the hat for the drawing, and every time you lose, you get another ticket. And then they go through all these prizes till everybody gets one. And then when everybody gets at least one, if there's prizes left over, they throw everybody's name back in the hat and keep on. Well, I think they actually keep on drawing that same bunch.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you lost 3 matches, so you have yours in here. You won the tournament, so you only had the one in there, et cetera, et cetera.
And I will say it is one of the tournaments I miss the most. I loved going to that all the time. And
there's no tiers. There's no tiers. And I've taken stunty teams. I think it. At least twice, if not 3. I've been to, like, think 5 of these, and I've won it in the past with Nobility. But yes, there's no tiers. So when you take Stunty and you can't take Deep Root and you can't take not Zara, but Carla Von Kill, which is a heavy crutch for Scott playing halflings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a real challenge. And all of a sudden, Rumbelow or the Masked Rider becomes a big deal. This year, they expanded it. You could only take 1 Rumbelow. Or you could take Roanna Forestfoot, if I'm saying her name properly. So she's the gnome that's riding the deer.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier... Probably 2 months ago, I had vampires penciled in at this event because John does allow you to have players with stack skills. If you want to stack up to 2, you can. It's a 1,200 build. So I was planning on playing vampires or maybe even Nurgle, but I was really heavily leaning towards vampires to stack some skills. You know how vampires are overpowered, etc.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I haven't played them under the 2020 rules. Well, since the new edition came, or they spoke into existence the new edition, it's like I have 9 teams left to play under the 2020 rules. I have about 3 tournaments left before this edition comes out at most. I'm not going to make it.
No.
So I was like, maybe I don't want to play vampires. And I did fine in the regular season. I got booted out with the playoffs really early, but I'm so bitter and scared to death to run a vampire team with less than 16 players because everybody gets hurt on my team. I decided to just say screw it. And I was looking at different teams to play, and I was struggling and struggling like I always do. In the process of doing this, I pulled out some models to look at them because I was like, well, I'll just look at a team that I like the paint job and haven't played in a while. And I came across my Youthlin United Unicorns, which is a Elf Union team. They're all painted with white. They have white costume or white kits, basically, with knee pads with rainbows and shoulder pads with rainbows. I love this, the way this team looks. I love the fluff with this team, et cetera, et cetera. So I was like, I wonder if I could get both star players, because I was going to lean into the – he does an award for – so he has these star players available, and he also has an award that is whoever at the end of it all has the most dedicated fans. Now, you can buy dedicated fans at the beginning. Also, you get a dedicated fan every time you do a casualty, whether that's a crowd push, a foul, you know, whatever you do to make them get casualtied. That's how you can get them, and by touchdowns. So by the time you're done, you know, you're in round three, I might start with a fan factor of like 8 versus somebody with 7 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it all, they give an award for the highest fan factor or dedicated fans. So a couple unique awards, and I just kind of like that because some people can, you know, load up right from the beginning with like 6 or 7 fans. And, you know, I'm going to go for this award and do the best I can. So gives you some things to do. So I looked at the teams. I could only get 2 rerolls. I could only play with 2 blitzers. But if I took 9 linemen, I could fit both star players. So I went 9 linemen, 2 blitzers, Rowana Forcefoot and Rumbelow Sheepskin, and just 2 rerolls. I couldn't play up the dedicated fans thing because I was out of money. But it all came into a cool 1.2 million team, and I stacked my skills because why not? I did a blitzer with Dodge Tackle. I did a blitzer with Frenzy Dodge. I did... And I know I talked to you about this. You really were saying instead of the Dodge Tackle to take Leap.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that here in a little bit. I took 2 linemen. One has Dodge Wrestle and one has Dodge Block. And then I had, of course, the star players. Rumbelow luckily comes with Tackle, Block, Juggernaut. So he can turn off, you know, wrestles and stuff like that. And then... Rowana, I thought I was going to use her as the ball carrier, you know, with her dump off and all that stuff. And then as I was driving, the more and more I thought about the +4 passing ability on a dump off, just feels like an invitation to put the ball on the ground for no reason.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dump off. So,
right.
So question. This came, mm-hmm. not to interrupt anything, but I just remembered. This came up at the tournament, and it's I won't say anything else because it will judge your response. So, figure A is going to blitz figure B.
Okay.
B has dump off. B decides to do dump off. The ball falls next to figure B. So now it's in the path that A was going to take to hit B. So A decides, I'm not going to hit you anymore. And goes and does something else.
I mean, as long as it's just a move action.
But they lose their blitz.
They lose their blitz 100% because they declared a blitz action.
So, according to how the rule is written, it says you must continue making your block.
Oh, okay.
So, it's... What do you think about that part of it?
Then I would say you had, oh, wow, because then they would run into the ball?
Uh-huh, because then they'd have to pick it up in a tackle zone, too.
Well, clearly I don't know the rules well anymore, because okay. I didn't think that they had to go finish the block.
So my opinion...
Because my opinion is if you had the ball in the Minotaur's hand,
mm-hmm.
and you're three squares away from the end zone, and you go, oh, I'm going to block, I'm going to blitz, sure, that guy over there.
Yep.
And then you run into the end zone.
Yes, but in that specific case, you're picking someone who's not in your range. This person is in the range. Now, again,
it can't be both. I mean, it's either the Minotaur can score or this other guy can switch up where he goes.
That's what everybody except one person decided as well. But it was interesting that it is written they have to continue the block. And I kept saying that's because it's the prior edition, you had to do it that way. Now it should say finish your activation.
Correct, because before, remember, you didn't do dump off until like you were
right up on them. Yeah.
Right.
And then you had to do it. So yeah, now I think it should just say when you finish your activation. But right. That did come up and it got kind of heated, and it was 9-1 pretty much what the consensus was. So
okay.
Just thought it was interesting. But yes, she has dump off, and 4+ is not good.
So yes, mainly during the car ride, I thought, maybe I'm not going to run the ball with her. Besides, she only picks up on a 3. Well, like any elf will pick up on a 2.
Mm-hmm.
She has guards. She can't guard herself if she's in the ball, etc. So anyways, we get to, let me first tell you my whole trip, because I have some more exciting things than just going to Laramie, I guess. Sorry,
comics,
people from Laramie.
Bad food.
So we left that morning. We got off to a late start because Gary's job called in with a crisis. He had to go solve that. So we took our normal path. We were originally planning on hitting like 2 comic stops and actually dedicating some time for some digging. Since we were behind, we only went to 1 comic shop. I found a few little things here and there. We get back. Gary found a lot of good stuff. I mean, he spent quite a bit of money at that store, and we hit the road again. This trip, I decided to not eat things that I did the last time, since last time I woke up with a pyramid passing through my system on Sunday morning. We had Chick-fil-A for breakfast. We had some Hawaiian Brothers in Wichita Falls, Texas. And then at the gas stations, I didn't get anything but some trail mix. I didn't try any weird
smart
wax patties or anything, or red cheese sticks. we made it into Lubbock. Gary wanted to go by one of those comic stores. So we went by the one comic store for him. I had some cash on hand, and this guy had a G.I. Joe 57. I believe it's the cover where Cobra Commander's in his new battle armor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he had a graded one, I think a 9.2, and he wanted $50 for it, I think is what he wanted. And I asked to look at it. I didn't really need it. I don't really care for graded comics, but the guy pulled it down. I just looked at it, and it had first appearance Dusty on the little, you know how sometimes they put notes in there, first appearances. If this didn't have any of those little dumb notes, I would have never got it, because I don't need it. I probably have 3 copies. But it had first appearance Dusty, first appearance of Fred 7. Now, to add to all of this, about 5 weeks ago, when I came back from our trip from Dallas that night, I decided to reread G.I. Joe number 1, and I decided to average reading 1 G.I. Joe comic a day until I reread the first 155 issues, the Marvel run, because I was like to see if there was any holes in there of stuff I didn't read. I'm on issue 50, so that probably nostalgia-wise picked up the same time as 57. All the Freds were named, those were the Crimson Guard Commanders.
Oh, okay.
They just had that was their name. They changed their name to Fred. And then there was a Fred 1 and a Fred 2 and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Fred 7 was the one who took over he acted like Cobra Commander for a while. Anyways, they had a first appearance Fred number 7 and Dusty. And I loved Dusty because I traded a kid for it in Cub Scout and Boy Scouts. And I thought that was the coolest figure ever. And I couldn't believe that this guy wanted to get rid of it, et cetera, et cetera. So nostalgia wise, it hit it. I offered them $40 cash. They took it. So I was like happy as a clam. I was like, yeah, I made a deal, you know, even though Gary was telling me like, I don't think that guy will take anything less for it. You know, they're not a wheeler dealer. I was like, cash talks.
Cash does talk, yes.
Cash does talk. Then we went, after that, we quickly went to Star. So this was at Monster's Lair in Lubbock, Texas. Then we went over to Star Comics. We knew there wasn't really anything there that we wanted to look at. There was no new issues we were looking for or anything like that. But last time I was in town, they had a Transformer 67 for $50 that I need. I could get it off eBay less, but I don't really know for sure the condition. But it's the last Transformers Marvel run that I needed. And I went in there, and the actual store owner was there. I knew he could wheel and deal. I offered him $40 cash for it. He took it. I have all the Transformers issues now.
What makes that one so special?
Lower print run near the last, like, 15 issues. Print run. Jim Lee did the cover.
Okay, there we go.
Jim Lee did a couple of covers around that time, and that's one of them. That's cool. We took it out. He let us look at it. It was in really good. It was in better condition than even we thought.
Yeah.
I could have got it probably for $30-$25. But I didn't. It's fine to find them in the hunt. And sometimes in the moment, you just go, I want this. So
it's more fun to buy them from local stores, anyways.
Right. So, you know, we made a little deal. I was happy with it. He was happy with it. I promise we'll get to Blood Bowl.
Really?
That night, traditionally we play board games and stuff, but I was like, I haven't been to a high school football game all year long because all Morse games have been away games so far, so I can't go watch my daughter or anything.
Your Yellow Jackets win the whole thing last year?
They did.
And you didn't go to any of their games?
They haven't had a home game yet until this weekend.
Oh, wow. Coming up. Okay.
Well, yeah, they had to go to Arkansas to play and to Kansas, the state of Kansas to play. And then they played the 6A won state champions and got obliterated. So they're 1-2 right now.
Okay.
That's repeat state champs. Anyways, no, I haven't been to any games, which is like you're acting surprised because I go to a lot of little high school games around here. So we were originally going to go see, I guess, the Rawls Jackrabbits, and we were told it was six-man football. Now, somebody else has corrected me that it was probably seven-man football. It was like 20 minutes outside of Lubbock. Me and Gary actually drove through that town to get to Lubbock, and they were playing like Rawls versus Wheeler. And we were like, oh, small town, you know, high school football, seven-man, six-man, whatever. The game was canceled due to injuries.
Oh, jeez.
So I told Dylan and them, I was like, why don't you ask around and see if there's like just a good game? We don't care who it is, just a good game. And there happened to be like what they call the equivalent of like, Dylan described it like more war. He's like, these two schools, Lubbock Cooper, is a rivalry with Friendship. And Friendship is not Friendship, it's FREN ship. So it must be named after somebody. Okay. I assume it's just the last name.
Yeah.
So we got to see the Lubbock Cooper Pirates versus the Friendship Tigers. And the Friendship Tigers team had a 4-star college guy that's about to go to Texas Tech.
Oh, wow.
What's cool about this to me is it's rare that you go to high school games and really see like a grade on somebody so you can differentiate like that's a 2-star kid. He will go to college and play, but he's only 2 stars, you know, versus this is a 3-star, 4-star, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to watch this game with nothing on stakes, you know, nothing going on. Dylan's wife, Annie, came with us. We all set up in the crowd. We sat on Lubbock Cooper's side because Annie's a teacher out there, and one of the teachers she works with son was the quarterback for Lubbock Cooper. So we had a reason to cheer, even though we don't care. End of the half, it's 21-21. And number 7 for Friendship Cooper was the 4-star kid named Chase Campbell, who's committed to Texas Tech. We'll see if anything ever happens to him. But he played quarterback. He played running back and wide receiver.
Jeez.
So the end of the first half, 21-21. The second half, it was 42-42 with like 2 minutes left. Lubbock Cooper drives down. long story short, the other team calls a timeout with 36 seconds left on the goal line. I believe Lubbock Cooper, I thought, would just like down it and then call their last timeout, kick a field goal, and win the game in regulation, since the other team cannot call stop the clock.
Yeah.
They handed it off to a kid, and a high school kid's going to run their hardest to score a touchdown. The other team let them score. They went up 49-42 with 31 seconds left.
Okay.
They kicked the ball off to Friendship, who has the four-star kid on it.
Mm-hmm.
Their three plays was pass to number 7, who ran his ass off until he was about to get tackled, and then he wisely ran out of bounds. The next play was a pass to number 7, who did the exact same thing. The third play was a touchdown pass to number 7 as he went into the end zone. There was 6 seconds left. They walked the field in three plays, all to number 7. We're tied at 49-49. Now, this is West Texas football. I always heard things about, oh, football's big here. The stadium has flashing, rotating lights when teams score and all this. It is pretty crazy. I mean, it wasn't the craziest thing I saw, but it was just fun to be there. Overtime, you know, the high school football overtime, they get the ball in 25-yard line. They can, you know, they try to score, et cetera. Friendship gets it. I think they ran two plays, both of them to number 7, and I think there were runs up the middle, and he scored a touchdown.
God.
So at the very least, this guy threw for one touchdown pass, ran for at least one touchdown, and I think he did at least three other ones from like catching the ball or something like
that.
So it was now 56-49. Well, Lubbock Cooper gets the ball. They don't have a number 7. Now, overall, that team was probably better athletes everywhere, but they didn't have the one standout athlete of everybody.
Yeah.
They grind it down. They finally score. And I told Gary, I was like, since they have the ball last in this overtime, I said, I would go for two.
Yeah, for sure.
You're away.
I don't know why the other team didn't do that at the end of regulation.
Well, because they had number 7, so I think they thought they could keep tying it because they'll flip-flop the overtime.
Yeah.
So this person will get the ball. So, oh, at the end of regulation? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
So they went ahead and went for two. The play felt like it lasted 3 minutes. It didn't. It was just really drawn out. And finally, this guy comes across the end zone. He catches the ball. Extra point is good. 57-56 was my first time to watch some Texas football.
That's pretty awesome.
And I had nothing in the stakes of it, so I didn't care if it was bad defense or great offense or however you want to look at it. It was way more fun than it should have been for a Friday night for something that didn't matter, if that makes sense.
That's cool. And then 6 years from now, when Chase Campbell gets drafted first round?
If that happens, you know what? I can say I saw him.
Absolutely.
That'd be really cool. We went home, obviously didn't play games. We just sat around and talked, and then the next day began. We went up to Stormcrow Games about 10 o'clock. I think registration started at 10. We started at 10:30. I guess nothing really exciting happened besides we were waiting around. Round one, I played a guy that had corn, pretty standard build. He had 3 rerolls for his 1,200. He had, I think, guard on all the Warriors, and I think all the Korn Gores, I think they had to all block, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong on that. There might be one in there with tackle. What's that?
So that would make sense, yeah.
Game went kind of back and forth. It was really tight for a while. I eventually scored at the end of the first half. Went up 1-0. He got the ball. I believe, like, after he secured the ball, I believe his first hit in the second half was double skulls.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided not to re-roll it. He had 4 re-rolls. Did I say 3 earlier? He had 4 re-rolls. I'm
How
sorry.
Would you not re-roll that?
Well, this is back to what you were talking about earlier, where like you reroll and get the same thing.
Yeah.
In the first half, quite often, whatever he rolled and it was crucial to reroll it,
mm-hmm.
he got the exact same thing. Now, he probably got the yips.
He got the yips.
Right. And now I'm only sitting on two rerolls. As a matter of fact, there was a time in the first half where every time I dodged, whether it was with somebody with dodge or without dodge, I rolled a one first, and then it was like a crucial play. So I used like three dodge skill rerolls and my two rerolls all in the same turn because it was crucial to, I was up the field with the ball carrier. I had to put a cloud around him. Anyways, that was first half. But I think the yips got him. He was fairly safe unless I went all out with like some dodging around the corners to kind of clip a and save a square of movement and then do two go for it. So, I mean, he probably thought I got block. I should be okay.
Make you do and all the I dice did. Rolls so he doesn't have to.
Correct.
Yeah.
The only difference here was is I made all my dice rolls. And I was just kind of trying to go in there and hit hard, maybe get the ball free. And, you know, if luck happens, I'm elves, I could walk in. And if at any time I go up 2-0, I probably got the game because, I'm, you know, they're just slower. Corn's slower
than for sure. Elves.
So I did crash the corners. I went through. I got BS dice, man. I had, like, great luck for me. And I hit the ball carry, and I was like, the only thing – and I shouldn't have said this because I didn't – I didn't mean it like really sarcastically. I meant it jokingly, but it happened. So then I felt bad.
Of course.
I said, I was like, the only thing to make this turn even better, and it's already been great, is if the ball would bounce right to me. And it bounced right to my guy. And of course I caught it. So then I was like, God, just shut up sometimes, Scott. went up 2-0. Eventually ended up winning this game 3-0.
Elves doing elf stuff.
Elves doing elf stuff. I did do something. He was ready to call the game after it was 2-0, and I get it. Like, my dice were doing well. His dice weren't doing good at all. I requested that we finish the game because of, you know, tournaments where you let people quit early, and then it comes down to, like, a tiebreaker point or something like
Absolutely.
That. Like, oh, if you would have had one more casualty or if you would have had one more touchdown –
if Steve would have just had three more touchdowns at World Cup.
Well, I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I came across like being a jerk or anything, but I asked that we play it out. And, you know, I gave valid reasons why. And I was like, you can get some casualties. And anyways, we didn't agree, but he finished it out. Ended up winning 3-0 on this matchup. And then we had a lunch break. We went to a place called, I think, Mama Rosa's. It's kind of like
Mexican place.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went there.
Okay. It's kind of like a fancy Taco Bueno.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad. The food I had was actually pretty good. Came back round two. I played, I don't know his first name. Farley. He has
Matthew.
Matthew Farley. He has the, Armbar Brothers podcast. Yeah. They talk about Blood Bowl and wrestling. So
I don't think the one's come out in a month and a half or something.
Yeah, it's been a while because I was on their page earlier.
Okay.
I've never played him. I've seen him now for years at tournaments, but we just never played each other. He had a human team. He also had a Rumble-O, halfling, stuff like that on his team.
Mm-hmm.
This match was fairly tight. First half, I grinded out, scored the last turn I could. Then we go into the second half, and he immediately goes, you know what? Mike Patterson tells me I don't throw enough. I think I'm going to throw the halfling. And I'm thinking, on turn one of the second half, it's 1-0. And then I thought, fuck it, go for it.
Go for it if you want to.
Because, I mean, if you don't fail, I still have the whole half. But you're going to fail.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just going to fail. I mean, that's what we know is going to happen. And I was like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, why not? And I'm like, dude, you be you, you know, like, you know, I grind out with L's, which I shouldn't, and most people would score as fast as they can, but I just don't do that. I wait till the last turn to score. So everybody does their own style different. He came up, got the ball, scooped it up, handed it off. He got, you know, his ogre wasn't boneheaded or anything like that, except he had a wildly inaccurate.
Oh.
But it went off to the right and all the way forward. Six squares.
Jeez.
Where I had nobody. So there was a big thing of like, well, if it's wildly inaccurate, you know, like, is it minus two to land? Is it minus three to land? And, you know, everybody kind of had their opinion because we don't see that too often.
Yeah.
And I guess there's no scatter on wildly inaccurate. Like, I want it to scatter like the body would, but it's only on a missed throw or whatever, yeah, which makes sense. But I needed something because I was shitting my pants right now. Mm-hmm. And he rolled a five, which is what he needed, and walked right into the end zone with two go for it, of course. And it was 1-1. And I was great. long story short, I got the ball back. I grounded out with my blitzer with tackle and scored like on the last play. Well, he fouled out his halfling, and that ended that. So there was no chance for him to throw it. So 2-1 victory going into round three. Round three, I get paired up against, of course, one of the LeClaires. I face off Patrick, who's been playing Amazons as of late and trying to get his Amazon ranking up. He said he was working on his Amazon ranking, so I think he's trying to just keep playing them, get really good with them. He's also 2-0. We were exactly tied on our like dedicated fans at this point. He did have Rumbelow as well, so he had Amazons with Rumbelow, which was interesting. And you know, I shouted that knowledge of having Rumbelow with block, tackle, and juggernaut to like tech to knock other people down with wrestle and stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't take credit for that because when Patrick did that to me, I was like, what the hell? And then he explained it and I was like, oh yeah, it's just like this canceling out this. And you know, and I was just like, yeah. So I used it a lot in that game. And up to this point, I did not use it much at all. For those reasons, like to cancel wrestle and still use my boat down result and stuff like that. Anyways, we had a game where I got the kickoff. The LeClaires are just good players. They're just solid players. And it's going to sound like I'm making fun of them. They play so fast, it like hurts my brain. I don't know if you played them.
No, I don't think I have.
Patrick goes just maybe even faster than Gavin, but I could be wrong on that. But they play really fast. They play a lot of games. They know where their guys are going to move. They'll count out the squares and boom, boom, boom. And you're like, what is going on here? Like, I think they could play a tournament with two-minute turns easily. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you're messing with my brain, man. You're going so fast, I can't keep up with you. And like he giggled. He's like, yeah, I'm sure he's like, you old man. But he had a solid team. Defensive was really screwing up, like guard for me and all that stuff. But that's what it's supposed to do, right?
Yep.
I grind down. I start losing some people to knockouts and stuff. It was a great tournament overall. I think I only lost three or four guys to casualties in three games. And I think I got like three casualties during my tournament, which is fairly good for me, especially playing elves. I finally had to score. I just didn't have a choice. I was trying to grind it out to give him like one or two turns only to score. I was dead to the water unless he just rolled bad and he had a reroll in his back pocket. So I went ahead and scored. I tried to tell myself I could play defense for three plays. I did my best. He ended up scoring. So it was 1-1 at halftime. At this point, my Rumbelow is knocked out and not recovering, which was really awful because I really needed him. Kicked off the second half. I had to kick to him. He is a great player. I just assumed unless I just do something crazily stupid and it works, this game is going to end up 2-1.
Yeah.
Because I would feel, and if it was vice versa, I'd feel pretty good in control too. If I would have got that second half kickoff, maybe not without Rumbelow, but if I had Rumbelow, I'd be pretty confident that I could hold him off in position. Anyways, he ground down about turn 5, I think it was. He was, well, one, I tried to sneak in the, you know, how Rowana has the bounding leap that she can dodge into something. There's no negative modifiers. She has a once per game after declaring that she will leap, but before rolling any dice, Rowana may choose to use this special rule. If she does, Rowana suffers no negative modifiers for the agility test to leap and may choose to reroll the result.
Nice.
So I waited and waited and waited till I could at least get somebody to go hit the ball carrier. And I leaped her in, got it. I miscalculated. I would have still made the same move. I just thought I needed a 3-up dodge. I needed a 4-up dodge with a reroll. It was still the right move, but yeah, I didn't roll 4. So I was really happy when I rolled the 3. And then Patrick reminded me, like, no, there's 2 tackle zones here, because he was like hugging the sidelines really well. And I was like, oh, yeah, 2 tackle zones would be 4. So I was mad at myself in that instance. Rerolled it and got like a 2 or something. So anyways, I failed that, but I forced him. I did not see what he's seeing. He didn't like his position on the field. And I guess he felt like, I mean, in some ways, I guess this makes me feel good. He felt like he needed to score then because he did not like stalling against me.
Yeah.
So I was pretty happy about that. But his only choice was to leap. And, of course, I was hoping that he'd fail, but he didn't. So he leaped over a guy and ran into the end zone. It was 2-1. I had 3 plays left. Most teams, I'd be like, I'm in trouble. Elves, maybe not. Especially when you have some sidestep block dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I did this, did that. Now, I only had 2 rerolls every game, every half, which, man, you got to be super disciplined in that, with that. I was really happy. The first half, I didn't use any rerolls because I just didn't. And then the second half, I still had this one in my back pocket. And it, long story short, on my turn 8, or actually, is it my turn 8, my turn 7? Yeah, my turn 7, I went ahead and did the 2 go-for-its to score and made it all. So I was very happy that. Then he had 1 play, and we called the hat. You know, I set up so we wouldn't get 1 turn touchdown if he knew how to do it. And yeah. I don't think – at this point, I think he had too many people knocked out or something. Anyways, it didn't happen. We ended up tying 2-2. Again, both LeClaires are great players. Anytime you can tie them, you can't, like, shake your head too much about it because it was well-fought match and stuff. So, yeah, I was pretty happy with my results. 2 wins, a tie. Came out to let me go back to this. When I played Matthew Farley, these are some ironic things from your tournament. You said somebody never rolled Take Root, right?
Mm-hmm.
You played those halflings. Farley's ogre never boneheaded the entire game.
Jeez.
It's not like he rolled a 1 and then re-rolled it and was successful. He never boneheaded.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty ironic. When it was all said and done, there's no third place at the Metador Melee, but they give away so many awards anyways. I ended up, technically, standing-wise, I was 3rd place. But I got the, back to your thing, I got best offense.
Nice.
Yay!
Twinsies.
The overall champion of the event, and Kenny Hudman, I guess, played vampires. And everybody said they got smoked. I mean, like, even he said, I had hot dice all day. There's nothing you can do about it, especially with vampires.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Gary played him, and he said at one point, I think he rolled 5 6s in a row. And Gary's just like, okay, dude. I will say this. Wasn't trying to be a jerk by finishing that first game, but I did find out later because, you know, first place, Kenny had the most touchdowns, right?
Yeah, 10.
The trickle down. There was like three other people that had six. So if I wouldn't finish that game, I also would have been at six. And then it's a toss up, you know, a 33% chance of who do you give best offense to. So my advice to everybody, and I've been there, just sit up, stand your models up, let them hit them, and just pass your turn if you're done. I've done it. I've done it really recently, so I do understand.
So you mentioned there was something about leap and tackle.
Oh, so yeah, going back to that, all day I realized, because I thought Rowana was going to be my ball carrier, it really sucked that most of the time I used my blitzer with tackle to be my ball carrier.
Yeah.
It was almost, it really was almost a wasted skill this tournament. So much in the fact that playing Patrick in that last game, the second half, when I did get the ball back, I just took the chance that I'm not going to use frenzy, hopefully. Just dodge it. You know, if I have to make a block or something, I can dodge away if needed or whatever. Yeah. He became my ball carrier because I needed the tackle to hit Patrick's Amazons. And that makes sense. Let's see. What else was weird about that day? Oh, the first game, there was several hits on the ball carrier, whether my opponent playing corn hit my ball carrier or I hit his. The game against Farley, Matthew Farley, neither one of us ever had an attempt to tackle the ball carrier because there was just too much interference or whatever, or we needed a block to get to it and it failed, you know, type deal. Me and Patrick's game never had one hit on the ball carrier. The closest that it came was me needing that one dodge for a four to get the first hit of the game on the ball carrier.
Huh.
So we, I guess that means both coaches were protecting the ball very well.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. I don't know. I just can't remember a time where that stood out playing a day of Blood Bowl. So, yeah, I got best offense. Patrick LeClaire got second. Kenny Hudman got first. They had tons of prizes, like I said at the beginning of this. They also had a painted team that Dustin made, these, like, conquistador-looking model things for a raffle that you could buy tickets for. I bought $20 worth of tickets and ended up winning it. Yeah.
That was the whole reason you wanted to go to that event.
I did say that, right?
Yeah.
It was like, there might be a chance I could win that thing.
It's a great looking team. Does a great job.
Most of the time I try to spend a little bit of money in the store to support the store. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, last time I spent like $200 in there. So this time I'm just going to buy some tickets. And anyways, yes, I won the team. Pretty cool. It looks like it can be used either as nobles or humans. So
nice.
Might become my noble team.
Or possibly Bretonians when they come up.
Well, I thought about that too. That's why I'm not going to number them or put colors around the bases like I like to do.
Yeah.
Let's see. Also from the other raffles, Gary, he ended up winning the same team, just not painted. That's what he chose. There was a lot of items to pick from. Dylan, who went with us to the tournament, he played. So Gary played Slan. Dylan played Nurgle. He ended up getting a painted human, like third edition human team, which is pretty cool. So
nice.
But I like those models because I just remember when they came out and everything. Yeah. So, but he didn't have a human team, so he was really happy about that. So yeah, we all walked away with that stuff. In addition to winning the team in the regular raffle that you just participate in by showing up, I won a $25 gift card.
Jeez.
So
how many people were there?
There were 16 of us.
Okay.
So not a bad little turnout. I thought the store would be full of Magic players because Spider-Man released this weekend.
They did their
pre-release on Friday night. There was not a Magic tournament at all Saturday. It was really weird.
From everything I've seen online, nobody's caring about that set.
Yeah, that's kind of the consensus is. I guess it was only supposed to be, I don't know if this is true, 100 card set that they expanded as people complained about smaller packs and all this stuff. Anyways, I haven't heard a lot of excitement about it.
Yeah.
There's a few Spider-Ham cards.
Ooh, you can probably pick them up secondhand for like a dollar each.
Well, that's the plan. I already have one of them already. So, what else was I gonna say? So, after we did our awards, clearly we left. We went to we got pizza from that. I can't remember the place it's called, but it was the really good pizza from the bar place that I cannot remember. We went to Holly Hops, which is the like ice cream place there. Looks like a 50s ice cream store. We always get ice cream there at least a couple times. We only did it once this time, but we got some ice cream from them. And then we went back to the house, played some Harmonies board game, and then crashed out. Me and Gary left super early that morning. We got home at like 1 o'clock. And that was my weekend. But overall, a really great weekend, like a great fellowship weekend. Like, at the end of Friday night, I was like, okay, I found the Transformers issue I needed. I found the last issue of El Diablo I needed. I'm pretty golden, man. I got first appearance of Dusty. Like, we don't even have to go to the tournament tomorrow.
Right. You're feeling good.
And then the fact that, like, OU played and beat Auburn, and Gary had that going on his phone so I could watch a little bit of it and stuff. It was just – it turned out to be a really good weekend. I didn't wake up with a pyramid traveling through my intestines.
That's always good.
And got to eat at world-class Arby's. It was just – it was a good time.
Yeah, I miss the road trips, but, yeah.
I probably shouldn't even. I'm going to tell it anyways. When we were at World Class Arby's, in case anybody doesn't know, that's the inside joke for the Whataburger in Lubbock. It's World Class Arby's because it has a W. Don't even remember the whole story, but that's what we call it. Anyways, an older gentleman, looked like a nice guy, big, tall guy. He was ordering his food. And before he started the order, he reached over and touched the guy's shoulder.
What?
And then he immediately goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to touch you like that.
What?
I don't normally do that. I'm not like one of those." And like, he's just trying to back away from this. And it just gets more and more awkward. And then he like orders his breakfast sandwich and then orders another one probably for his wife. And then he's like, "And if you can make the bacon about the color of your hat." So, of course.
That is a guy tripping balls, and he was not sure that the guy in front of him was real. he is real. Crap. Come up with a story.
Yes. Or, like, he's secretly, he's like, "I'm not like that. Unless maybe you are."
Right. Unless you like it, then maybe.
So me and Gary just started making jokes about that the whole trip home about, "I'm not really into that unless maybe you are."
And, World Class Arby's came around because I think Gary was talking about hitting Arby's on the way or for lunch or something. And we're like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Arby's down the road." I'm like, "There's no Arby's." He goes, "Yes, there is." And we look it up, and it's a Whataburger.
That's like, what it was. He was planning on eating that.
Right.
And so then we just go, "Oh, well, maybe it's World Class Arby's."
Because it has a W, yeah.
Okay. that is right. But yes. So, but no, overall, a good... Oh, I got some weird last food thing. I did buy some gummies that were orange-flavored.
Mm-hmm.
From a Stripes gas station, which everything inside says it's a 7-Eleven. It has like Slurpees and it has like the signage inside of 7-Eleven, but on the outside it says Stripes. Anyways, okay. They were called Peelys. They looked like an orange slice. It even said, "You can peel these if you want." So me and Gary had a few of them and I'm like, they're not terrible. And then like I was like, "Can you really peel these? You really could peel the skin off of them to get a little tiny nugget of sliver of orange out of the other sliver." And it actually tasted worse when you did that. So it was better to eat it whole.
Well, just because you have the option doesn't mean you should.
But then I started peeling them just with my tongue inside my mouth, and Gary was really impressed. He was like, "I think I know why Jen sticks around with you." It was really weird candy.
I can tell.
That was our trip.
Okay.
It was nice to have kind of like especially since the last one, you know. It, of course, it always helps having good Blood Bowl results. It really was a day that having two rerolls didn't hurt me.
You didn't lose people to the kickoffs immediately?
No, every game it was a couple turns in before I lost players. So that's why you never saw a post that said, I've already lost two players and I haven't had a turn yet. It just, yeah, it was, everything just flowed. It was just one of those fairly good days. I think I took a suboptimal roster a little bit because I would have rather had some catchers with eight movement, nerves of steel, etc. More rerolls, but I didn't, and it still worked out okay. The stars didn't help me one way or another a whole lot. I mean, Rumbelow's good because he can turn into four strength, and so can Ruana. But there wasn't times where they just bailed me out either. Now, what I will tell you, and this is what I meant to tell you during all the tournament stuff, if I was going to run the ball with Ruana, tackle's great on that blitzer. But if you decide to change your mind, I probably should have went with Leap like you said. Because especially in Patrick's game, I could have used Leap a couple of times.
Could have screwed you because you only had two rerolls. And it's that not is the a given. You know?
That's the exact reason why I switched it. Like, I was totally sold on doing it because you were like recommending it. And I was, if I take this team to Moracle, I'd like to try different things to see what works and doesn't. And then I was just like, if I only have two rerolls, I sure don't want to be tempted to leap for no reason.
Yeah. And you will because you have the skill.
Right. Anyways, good little time.
Cool.
It was nice to see everybody. Nice to see Dustin and John. I was very happy I won a painted team because I haven't painted my nobles yet. So
I did win an orc team at Wyoming. Not that I don't have 1,000 orc teams, but I think I'm going to buy the extra kit. What was it?
Can you still buy like the gouged eye kick?
Or yeah, the gouged eye one. You have to find it secondhand or Soviet, but
oh, one certain of those
websites. Stuff. But you know, hey, if they're not making it anymore and I can't buy it legitimately, I don't see the harm in buying it illegitimately. Or if someone has them, let me know.
Oh, I'm sure somebody has them. All right. All right. That's all I got, man.
Right, let's wrap this up with some shout-outs, if we have any.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know if we have any.
You want to do the thing?
I'll do my thing. Ready? I'm starting to lose my voice.
Sure.
Shout-outs!
Hey, we'll see. We got Daniel, who said we should every once in a while do the periodic weekly episodes, because he enjoyed that. Phil also enjoyed it. But Phil enjoys everything. And then Phil was sent you an email about Defenders. Did you get that or did you read that?
He said something like, you know, like if you were here, you could borrow mine, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah, but I think that was pretty much all we got. I don't know.
I want to shout out Dylan and his wife, Annie, who put us up again. It's really nice of them. It helps tremendously to know that, I mean, besides those two big purchases at Lubbock, my weekend trip was not a whole lot, you know, besides, you know, food and the maybe $100 I spent on comics type deal.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I know that, but two of the comics were $80, you know.
Of course, I get it.
Together.
So
I'd like to shout out them. My traveling buddy, Gary, who went along with the trip. And I don't know if they were crazy about going to watch football, but once we were there, everybody was cheering and stuff, having a good time. So,
well, it'll be fun to watch out and see if he actually does well in college.
Yeah, it was just really a cool thing because Gary looked him up. He was like, I wonder if this kid's getting recruited. He said he's a 4-star talent, according to this. And I was like, okay, well, he really stands out, like, as the best player on the field. So, anyways, it was cool.
Maybe we should go through all the star players and rank them 1 to 4 stars.
Oh, you know what we could do?
That sounds like too much work already. Huh.
I know. And here's my tangent as my sleepy meds are starting to kick in. What if next episode, or do you think people would like to ask our speculation on what, like, let's just pick random two teams. Dwarves and, I don't know, vampires. What would you like to change if you had to change every roster, or what do you speculate is going to happen?
I mean,
do you think anybody would like that? I mean, it's all speculation at this point.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, we don't know what it's going to be. We can throw out ideas all we want, and we might look into that, but I just don't know. You just don't know how much of a change they want to do.
No, not at all.
Hopefully we'll find out soon.
A lot of people at the tournament that I did talk to about it felt like they weren't really going to change positional stuff. It might just be like little costs or a skill. Like the Blitzers might get this, or the Goblin Ooligan's going to get eye poke or something like that.
I think that's probably going to be what it is. And like, not having so much starting block, it might turn to Brawler, changing costs on rerolls. Like I said, maybe take everything instead of 100,000. Now it's just 100. That way,
right,
it's so much easier for people to figure stuff out. Because if you think about it, if you're introducing this game to someone new, what's the point of having 100,000 instead of just 100?
There's not. I mean, you're not wrong.
So, I don't know. Sounds like your internet's about to crash out, so let's go ahead and just wrap this up.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, see you guys next time.
Later.
You can follow Both Down on Twitter at Both Down. You can follow Scott at Fat Finley, FatFinley, and Steve at Kilowog2814. If you want to know if your team name is Both Down approved, send a tweet to @BDApproved. If you'd like to email them, the email address is BothDownPodcasts@gmail.com. Or for more information, you can visit them at BothDown.com or at Facebook.com/BothDown.
That cross worries, puzzling yourself. See, that's what I'm talking about. When you take the Johnny Blaze and you take that D and you plug that D into the Bobby Steels, now you are playing with power. With power. Power. I got your mind twisted. Unrealistic wavelength draining all your brain strength, inflicted crosswords puzzling your doubt, questioning your own mental health. Yeah, it's like a maze within itself. Yeah, check the grimy, slimy, criminal individual lobby, searching for the dark night, lurking in the shadows of the city. Hero with Jiggy, my crime committee, robbing every coffin, piggy bank blind. Take a journey through the mind of a rat.
Free money, not a problem. Price to get the ice, not a problem. A body for a price, not a problem. The red
once again, Mr. Mind Bender, three-time felony offender, demented, brain cemented, mixing the blender, illusion, mass confusion, question mark, clues in, what, where, why, who's in, quiz, time to ask yourself who it is, shiesty be your low, underhanded biz, invaded brothers' wigs, can I live? Corrupting, bringing all the misery and suffering. Pain you couldn't cure with the buffering. Rotating, ridiculous, rapid fire riddle. Back get trapped in the middle of the red line.
Not a problem. To the gem, there ain't no sequel, not a problem. Big up to all my peoples, not a problem. It's the red line.
Observe if you will. I'm in my hideout in the back of the hill. I crack a vault and I caught it by the mill. Co-defendants Johnny Blaze and Bobby Stills. We was blazing hot wheels. Turn the corner, you can hear the wheels squeal. On that ass fast was the Batmobile. I can tell by the demon on the grill.
this was real. Alley cat screaming. I had the trash can, garbage everywhere. Money flying out the bags and trying to escape. Conan with the cape, or else he'd be headed upstate. It's the red bluff. Talking suicide, not a problem. If we speaking homicide, not a problem. You wanna talk in the side, not a problem. That's no problem. The red lock. Feel good, don't it?